Okay. Pumsaha. Abe male. Striaha. Abe female. Mituni pavam. Attraction for sexual life. Etam. This. Tayoho. Of both of them. Mittaha. Between one another. Ridya grantim. The knots of the hearts. Ahu. They call. Ataha. Thereafter. Griha. By home. Chitra. Field. Sutta, children. Apta, relatives. Pitahai, and by wealth. Janasya, of the living being. Moha, illusion. Ahayam, this. Aham, I. Mama, mine. Iti, thus. Translation. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body, home, property, children, relatives, and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions and thinks in terms of I and mine. You can repeat. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. On the basis of this misconception, which ties together the hearts of the male and female, one becomes attracted to his body. Home, property, children. Relatives and wealth. In this way, one increases life's illusions. And thinks in terms of I and mine. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Sex serves as the natural attraction between man and woman. And when they are married, their relationship becomes more involved. Due to the entangling relationship between man and woman, there is a sense of illusion whereby one thinks, this man is my husband, or this woman is my wife. This is called ridya granti, the hard knot in the heart. This knot is very difficult to undo, even though a man and woman separate, either for the principles of varnashram or simply to get a divorce. In any case, the man always thinks of the woman, and the woman always thinks of the man. Thus, a person becomes materially attached to family, property, and children, although all of these are temporary. The possessor unfortunately identifies with his property and wealth. Sometimes, even after renunciation, one becomes attached to a temple or to a few things that constitute the property of a sannyasi. But such attachment is not as strong as family attachment. The attachment to the family is the strongest illusion. In the Satya Sanghita, it is stated, Brahmaja yogya vakaryad ya muchante stri sahayanaha bodhyante kichinai te sham visesham cha vidho viduhu. Sometimes it is found among exalted personalities like Lord Brahma that the wife and children are not a cause of bondage. On the contrary, the wife actually helps further spiritual life and liberation. Nonetheless, most people are bound by the knots of the marital relationship, and consequently, they forget their relationship with Krishna. It's a famous verse, actually. Pumsastriya mituni bhavam etam tayor mito riti granti mahu atho griha kshetra sutapta vitar janasya moho yam. Aham Vameti. So Om Ganat Madanda Shah Gananjana Shilakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So we find described in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the material world is described in a metaphorical way as a reflection like of a banyan tree on the banks on a river, and you are standing on the banks of the river, so therefore the banyan tree has the roots up and the branches down. And so material world is something like that. Like, of course, what is most entangling in this world is the most elevated subject matter in the spiritual realm. Of course, the most elevated subject matter in the spiritual realm is the relationship between Radha and Krishna. And that is the most selfless relationship. That means unselfish. Selfless. Unselfish. Because, as described by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshastika, the last verse, what is that? That Krishna, you may crush me by your embrace, leave me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Lampato, you may be a devachi, but you're completely free to do anything and everything. And so, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I was just listening to this, that if Krishna is interested in some other lady other than Radharani, of course he's not, obviously, but this is Radharani speaking. But Radharani says that if Krishna is interested in some other lady other than me, then I will endeavor to bring Krishna and that lady together. And that's pretty unselfish, isn't it? I mean, in the material world, where you find some body's interested in some other lady other than the wife, and the wife discovers, just like that recent story of that general Petraeus, it just actually shows the power of attraction in the material world between men and women, that in spite of having such a big prestigious position, I mean, practically speaking, in the military and the CIA, the CIA was the highest position, military, very high, respected position, you know, practically, he was one of the national heroes in America. I mean, you couldn't get higher than that, basically, in his field. And then what happens is there's this lady who was doing his biography, and she came to him and said, and she was also a military person, she also had security clearance. That's funny. Security. So she also had security clearance, and she came to him and said, I want to do your biography. And so she was embedded. That's a fancy word. That doesn't. Oh my God. I'm just thinking of the other meaning of it. Anyway, so forget it, I said it. But she was embedded in his team. Oh my God. anyway, that means that when you have a team, a military team, sometimes the reporters are actually, without a double entendre, are actually embedded. That means they're put within the team, and they report, and they're just like one of the soldiers, except they don't fight. So anyway. So what happened is that she was doing his biography, and he eventually became attracted, because as we know, men is like butter and women are like fire. So you just put the two together and it's inevitable something's going to happen. And people don't understand that point. People think they're immune from it. They're immune. But basically, even Lord Brahma, in the beginning of the creation, before he became actually an absolutely pure devotee, became attracted to his daughter, Vak. And he was chasing after her. And, it was a whole scene. He had to give up his body. That is, a particular subtle body. Obviously, he didn't have a gross body at that particular point, which means giving up the mentality. And later on, of course, he became pure devotee. So we don't like telling the story because Lord Brahma is one of the original preceptors, or the original preceptor in our disciplic succession. So this Petraeus, he just, you know, and the lady, you know, not saying it was anyone's fault, it just put two and two together, hydrogen and oxygen, you get water. You get an explosion, and you get water. And that's why Chanaka Pandit says that one should not be in a secluded place, even with one's daughter or mother or whatever, because one has to be a little flexible with that, obviously. I mean, I remember when I joined the movement, I was refusing to be in the same room with my mother, and it created all sorts of havoc. I refused even to look at my mother. I would just look at her feet. She said, look at me, look at me. I said, no, Maya. So, I mean, you have to really take this and apply it practically in the material world. So anyway, so he fell down. Of course, was he up to fall down? I don't think so. But anyway, you say that about devotees, they fall down. But anyway, so he fell down from his respectable position, and literally, the FBI later discovered there were thousands of pages of emails between both of them. I mean, can you imagine? I've never written more than a few pages to anybody in my whole life of emails. I mean, I wouldn't know what to say. Thousands of pages. You know, email to me means just, yes, meet you here. This is all right. You know, you have my blessings. Hare Krishna. You know, thousands of pages of emails. And then also there was another military person who's presently in Afghanistan who was having thousands of pages with another lady. But he never even fall down. But or he was always falling. Whatever. So it's interesting how... And so he lost his reputation, lost his job, everything became a disgrace. And the reason I'm telling the story is then his wife got... So they asked... Is his wife angry with him? And the reporter was told, that's an understatement. You know, so here's a general that's probably getting beaten to death by his wife. You know, he was able to conquer over all the Taliban in Afghanistan, but he wasn't able to conquer his wife because she's, you know, I'm probably sure she has a frying pan or something like that. And, you know, the poor guy, I mean, he's lost his reputation, lost everything because of this attraction. He lost his common sense, too. But so the point is that the wife is angry with him. So you see, she had a sense of possessiveness. You know, he was mine, or is mine, or was mine. And that's the ahamamati, I and mine type of stuff, that you... Someone belongs to you. Whereas you contrast that with the relationship between Radha and Krishna. And you see the Radharani is saying, you know, if Krishna's interested in someone else, I'll somehow or other make some arrangements so he can associate with someone else. Of course, she does exhibit mana or anger from time to time. Because Krishna, that's to give Krishna pleasure. Krishna wants to see her angry and jealous. But it's never violent. It's just she goes away. I mean, actually, it's interesting. Like, it's described that there's different types of jealous women. Even in Krishna's pastimes, there's sober, and what is the other type? Yeah, there's mixed, there's sober and angry. I mean, that's not the exact word, but... So sober means they just tolerate it. You know, and they don't say anything. They just bite their teeth when they're jealous. That's in relationship to Lakshmi. That story was there in the Lakshmi Vijay, where Lakshmi attacks Lord Jagannath's servants because Lord Jagannath is hanging out with the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, and attempting... Lakshmi wants to bring Lord Jagannath back to Sundarachala, to the Jagannath temple, and he's... And he's at the Gundicha temple, which represents Vrindavan. Hmm. So the point is that there's restless. Oh, yeah, that's it. And so the second type is restless, where the lady just, like, gets angry with the man and tries, you know, beats him with a pot or something like that. And then there's mixed, where the lady is not doing anything physical to beat him, but she's speaking sarcastically. You know, I hope you enjoyed yourself. You know, I know you're so loyal to me. Like that. So that's the three types of jealous ladies. Sober, restless, and mixed. Remember that. Sober, restless. It's interesting, anyway. Interesting subject matter. So the point is that Radharani always loves Krishna, in spite of Krishna being a debauchee. Whereas in the material world, you know, the wife, she hates the man when the man is a debauchee. I'm not saying the men should be debauchees. That's not a good thing. But still, there's a sense of possessiveness. You know, someone belongs to me, and love quickly turns to hate. So we find the perverted reflection of love which is in this material world. And the highest thing in the spiritual world was the conjugal relationship between Radha and Krishna. It happens to be the lowest thing in this material world, this lusty relationship. And one loses all good qualities, as we see in Petraeus. And, of course, I'm not saying he had any good qualities. But one loses his common sense, his good reputation, everything. And there are many examples of this in the Vedic literature. And I was thinking about different examples that illustrate this point. One, of course, is the famous story of Pururava. Pururava, anyway, the story of Pururava begins with his grandfather. His grandfather is Soma. Soma is the moon god. And Soma was performing some sacrifices, and Brihaspati came to the sacrifices. Brihaspati, of course, is the a priest of the demigods, came to the sacrifices, and Brihaspati brought his wife. And Soma fell in love with Brihaspati's wife. So here's demigods. You know, he just like somehow or other became attracted to her, kidnapped her. Her name was Tara. Had a relationship with her, and she became pregnant, and they couldn't figure out, you know, who the kid belonged to. And finally, she had to admit, you know, belonged to the moon god. And so she gave birth to this son, whose name was Buddha. Not the Buddha we know that's the head of the Buddhist religion, but, you know, Buddha. And then Buddha had a son named Pururava. And Pururava was, because of his family history, you know, the genetic strain coming from Soma, who happened to be quite lusty, and anyway, his father, I don't know whether his father was lusty, but sometimes traits skip a particular generation, and you get the traits of your grandparents rather than the traits of your parents. Usually the man gets the traits of his mother, and the daughter gets the traits of the father. You can see that with children generally. So, getting back to the point. So Pururava, he fell in love with this heavenly society girl named Urvasi. And the reason Urvasi came down to the earth planet, because normally she doesn't like to come down to the earth planet, because demigods are a lot more handsome, and they don't smell bad like earthly people. You know, they don't get old, they don't have any disease. You know, if you're going to fall in love with someone, you better fall in love with someone who's just, like, handsome. And no zits or anything like that. So those are the demigods. So, but anyway, she was cursed because Mitra and Varuna actually got agitated, you know, sexually by seeing her. And so they cursed her. They blamed her for their own agitation. That's another fallacy. That sometimes people blame the object of their senses for their own lack of sense control. In other words, the men may blame the woman. Oh, that woman, she's Maya. No, you're in Maya. She may or may not be in Maya, but that has nothing to do with you being in Maya. You're in Maya because you're responsible for being in Maya. It's not her fault. You can't blame a computer because sometimes you get attracted to a computer. Just like the other day I was looking at a computer, you know, one of these little thin computers, thin and beautiful computers. What are they called? The new ones? They're very, very thin. Ultrabooks. Ultrabooks. I was looking at one of them. Wow. And my computer is so fat. You know, sometimes people say that about my wife is so fat. Look at that thin girl. So sannyasis, they say, my computer is so fat, and that computer is so beautiful and thin. So anyway, so it's not that I should get upset or angry with the ultrabook that's causing me to be in Maya, but it's actually my fault that I want to possess a better computer. So anyway, getting back to the point. So Mitra and Varuna, they got angry at Urvasi because their minds got disturbed by seeing her, but it was their fault. And so she was cursed by them to become attracted to an earthly man. And so she came down to the earth and was attracted to this Pururava, who was a pretty lusty guy anyway, because of his family history. And, you know, he looked at her and she looked at him. And he said, marry me. And she said, you know, who wouldn't marry a handsome hero like you? Now, remember, previously she had association with the demigods. So, I mean, he was nothing compared to the demigods. So, anyway, she said, I'll get married to you, but there's certain conditions. And the conditions are that I have these two nice pets. Not dogs. Lambs. I guess they were toilet trained. So, she had two nice lambs. You take care of these lambs. Make sure nothing happens to them. And she said, I never want to see you naked. And also, everything you give to me as far as food is concerned should be cooked in ghee. No canola oil, no sesame oil, no nothing else. Actually, Prabhupada said the Didi food should always, Didi Prasad or Didi Bhog should always be cooked in ghee. Prabhupada said oil is for the outside, ghee is for the inside. Of course, as you get older, you even give that up, but that's due to our physical constitution, not due to what's good. So he agreed, said, okay, whatever you want, I'll agree to. And he got married to her, and they were very happy, or so-called happy, so-called enjoying, an illusion. It's like one takes a drug or snorts cocaine, it's the same thing. According to the scientists, it's the same thing. I'm just quoting scientists. So anyway, they got married, but eventually they missed her in the heavenly planets, and they wanted to bring her back. So the Gandharvas came at the behest of Indra to bring Urvasi back to the heavenly planets. And what they did is they came in the middle of the night and they stole the lambs. And Urvasi was upset that her lambs had been stolen. And she was in bed next to Pururava. And she said to him, my lambs have been stolen, you stupid eunuch guy. You know, you see how love turns to hate, you know. You can't protect my lambs. You're just a eunuch. I mean, that was a frightening words. And so when Pururava heard this, he jumped up out of bed without putting his clothes on and ran after the lambs. And the Gandharvas, who had kidnapped the lambs, somehow or other had a spotlight. And they focused it on this poor guy, Pururava, who was in his birthday suit. And Urvasi saw it, and she said, well, that's it, you know. You couldn't protect my lambs, and you're walking around like they do in San Francisco without any clothes on. I mean, there's a whole controversy in San Francisco whether people can walk around with clothes on or not. Kind of stupid because it's very cold there. But so anyway, so she left. And then he was so bereft, so attached to her. I mean, he lost all of his intelligence. Remember, he was from a good family. He was a king. You know, like Petraeus, same thing. Even better than Petraeus. And so he was wandering around the world looking for her. Finally, he found her. And she said to him, all right, you can come and see me, big boy, one time a year. And he wasn't satisfied with that, and she somehow or other arranged for a imitation Urvasi to be constructed, but he wasn't satisfied with that either. And eventually he just started performing a whole fire sacrifice, considering you know, the goal to be to go back home, back to Urvasi, you know. And he did it. You know, he left his body and joined Urvasi in the heavenly planets. Of course, in the heavenly planets, Urvasi is shared. You know, she's a heavenly society prostitute, so that's another issue. So that's one story. Another story that's very interesting, showing how one's attachment makes one completely stupid, is the story of Mahabish. Mahabish was a great king. He was up in the heavenly planets because he had performed many pious activities. He looked at Ganga Devi the wrong way, you know, lustfully when the wind blew her skirt up, and he was cursed to come down to the earth planet, and Ganga Devi sort of like appreciated that attention. So she was cursed, she was cursed also to come down to the earth planet. And also the eight Vasus were cursed to come down to the eighth earth planet because they had offended Vasishtha Muni by trying to steal his desire cow. This is a whole story from the Mahabharata. So, anyway, they all came down to the earth planet. Shantanu was there. And Shantanu was by the Ganges River, and Ganga Devi came out of the Ganges River. And he fell in love with her. He said, I have to marry you. And she said, there's a premarital condition, premarital contract like they have nowadays, that you should never argue with me. And actually, most of the ladies should do that when they get married. They should make the husbands agree. Never argue, never disagree, never get angry with me. Just listen to everything I say. Because that's the time to get the man to sign any damn thing. Later on, they won't agree to it. Before then, you got to get someone when they're in illusion. Then they agree to any stupid thing. Like forever and ever, until death do we... Anyway, so... Getting back to the point. So then what happened is he agreed. And then what she did was so horrendous. I mean, of course, it was part of a pastime. These were the Vasus, and they didn't want to live on the earth for a very long period of time. So she agreed that after she gave birth to them, she would just drown them in the Ganges River so they go back to the heavenly planets. But Shantanu didn't know that. He actually tolerated... You know, something that's on the same level as abortion. And practically, it's even more traumatic than abortion. Because the kid came out, and he saw his wife immerse his sons in the Ganges River. Can you imagine that? You know, here's a little baby, you know, a cute little baby. And your wife... takes the baby and puts the baby in water, and you watch the baby drown. I don't know if you've ever seen anyone drown. I mean, I was a lifesaver before, so, you know, I help people, but, you know, I saw people almost drown. And it's a traumatic thing. Actually, one time Gopal almost drowned. We were crossing a little stretch of the Ganges River, and I said, can you do this? And he said, of course I can. I'm a good swimmer. And then he was in the middle, and he goes, Gurudev, I'm drowning! And before I could get to him, one other devotee went to him and picked him up, saved him. So, you know, it's a very traumatic thing. So imagine seeing little babies drowned. And so she was doing that with seven kids. And he just shut his mouth. Can you imagine that attachment that must be there for this sex life? Did you see your kids? And you find that nowadays, too. You know, ladies, sometimes they will kill their kids because they have a new paramour. Because the paramour doesn't like their kids, or it's in the way of their relationship. So that there was one famous story years ago. The lady put their kids in a car right near the banks of a river, and took off the emergency brake and put the car into neutral. And the car, she watches the car just glided into the water, and the car just filled up with water, and her kids died. I mean, it shows how much illusion this lust puts one in. The one that destroys everything. You know, so anyway, so he tolerated up to the eighth, and then after the eighth, That was it. He objected, and then she left, and that was Grandfather Bhishma, of course, the story of the Mahabharata. Even later on, he fell in love with this lady, Satyavati. And he was so much in love with her that he became depressed, clinically depressed, because he had promised, so the only way he could marry Satyavati is if her son would become the king, and he'd already promised Bhishma, who was born from Ganga Devi, that he would become the next king. So he was put in a dilemma, you know, one of these really conflicts, heavy conflicts, and he was shaking because of that. And eventually, grandfather Bhishma, it wasn't grandfather at that time, but Bhishma promised that he wouldn't become the king, and then Satyavati's son could become the king, which never really happened anyway. And so you see, you know, Shantanu again lost all intelligence because of this lust. Avritam gyanam ektena gyanino nitya vairina kama rupena kuntya dushparena lenacha. That's Bhagavad Gita. That's one avritam gyana, one's knowledge, one's realization is stolen by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which what has never satisfied. That's another problem with it. Not only does it make you crazy, nunam pramata kudatevi karma, but it's never satisfied. And it burns like fire. All right, that's our eternal enemy. Nityabhayana, kamarupena, kontya, dushprena, lenacha. All right, tomorrow we'll go on to the next verse, which will speak more about this wonderful subject matter. But this is, you know, it's a famous verse. It's one of the first verses sannyasis learn when they take sannyasis. Kumsas, Vyam, Kumbam, Metam, Tayor, Mato, Ridi, Grantia, Ho, Ato, Griha, etc.